Thank you. As you could probably imagine, this is a loaded question. Who's supposed to inspire our children? The parents or the teachers? And obviously the answer won't be one or the other. Rather, but I would like to go to the root of how it started. It's brought down, we pride ourselves that we are the first nation in the world that started a mandatory network of schools way before any other nation did so. I'm referring to the Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra, Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says over there that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, he was a Tana, who lived in the time of the Second Temple, and he made a decree. He saw that it used to be that a father, meaning fathers, would teach their children Torah, but what happened, unfortunately, if there was a child without a father? And then he made a takona, a decree, that there should be schools, milamde tinukos, in all cities around where Jewish people live. And many people quote this event as something that we should be very proud of. That we should be proud that we are the first nation in the world that did such a kind of thing of compulsory schools way before any other nation said so. I'm going to read here just brief that Rabbi Yitzhak Kuttner Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, who wrote the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, at the end of Shavuos, he addresses this point. He wrote it in Yiddish, even though always he's wrote in Hebrew, and this is a translation in English. And he totally disagrees with this outlook of that we should be proud of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla accomplished. Yes, the Gemara compliments Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. And the Gemara does say that without Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. That's a massive, massive compliment. But it doesn't reflect something positive about us, says Rav Hutner. On the contrary. And what I would like just to read are just a few words here in order to properly understand Da'as Torah concerning the unique characteristic of contemporary of teachers of today. We must correct a deeply entrenched error concerning how the Jewish system of teaching originated. The undisputed fact is that the teaching system was invented by the Tana Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. It is a standard that amongst us, those who write the history of Jewish education, that they take great pride in the fact that Jews were so progressive and had established their mandatory educational systems already in ancient times. Says Rav Hutner, let me state clearly that this whole idea is the opposite of the truth. Those who express this mistaken notion indicate that they are not aware of the difference between Jews and non-Jews. Let's learn through this piece of Gemara. The Gemara states that if it hadn't been for the decree of Yeshua ben Gamla, then the Torah would have been forgotten from Israel. Hayta Torah mishtakachet miYisrael. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. This is an astounding statement. For the revelation, from the revelation at Sinai until the time of Yeshua ben Gamla, it was over a period of almost 2,000 years. And throughout that whole time, whoever had a father who was taught by his father, whoever unfortunately did not have a father, would not learn Torah. Nevertheless, in all those years, there was never a danger that the Torah should be forgotten from Israel. So therefore, if there had never been such a problem in the past, why should Yeshua ben Gamla be praised so strongly in the Gemara that without his decree of establishing an educational system, the Torah would have been forgotten from Israel? That's a very powerful question. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla did not live next to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla lived way after. And that's only then he made the decree. What about those who don't have fathers to teach them? But unfortunately, obviously, were orphans the whole time. And through that whole period of time, from Matan Torah to Yeshua ben Gamla, Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, the Torah was not forgotten. So why are we suddenly afraid the Torah will be forgotten? What happened? So it goes on, Rav Hutner. You have to know that in all the generations which were governed by the principle, whoever had a father, he would teach him Torah. This practice was a given that the one you must obtain Torah from the one that you obtain life. And since a person obtains his life from his father, he must obtain Torah from his father as well. Meaning the outlook of Torah is not a profession. Torah is not something that you pick up. Torah is life. And wherever you got life from, you should get Torah from. That's a the real place of learning Torah is learning Torah from a father. That's where your Chaim came from. That's where your Torah should come from. He wants to give here an analogy. Let's say that we suddenly found ourselves in a particular country where we discovered that there was a decree that all newborn babies must be placed in an incubator. Just imagine. Of course, we would immediately deduce that something must be wrong with the mothers in that country. That is exactly what the Gemara is telling us when it says that until the time of Moshe ben Gamla, it was okay. The Torah was not being forgotten. A profession is definitely a blessing in life. However, life itself can never be a profession. And Torah is identical with life itself. Just as one generation cannot give over life to the next generation through professionals, so is it impossible that one generation give the next generation Torah through professionals. Just like a mother must carry her children biologically, so must the fathers carry their children spiritually. The best incubator is never more than just a substitute. So the decree of having new schools is second best. What is the best? To learn Torah from your father. Why? Because Torah is life. And when you, the one you got life from, you learn Torah from. So what happened in the days of Moshe ben Gamla? In the days of Moshe ben Gamla, there was a decrease in Bet Abba. The homes, the Jewish homes, did not carry their same spiritual weight than they had before. And we needed an incubator now. And now schools came about. But for us, says Rav Huttner, it was a yirida. How would you say yirida in English? What? A decline. Because it wasn't the best situation. An incubator is not the best thing to have. It's much better if you don't need incubators. If there's a need, okay, fine. We'll use it. By us, it was a given that Torah should be given through a father. Let's start. Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamla came up with a decree once he saw that the situation deteriorated. I want to quote you another Maamar Chazal to show this point, and then we're going to see, did this principle change once we have schools? But how was it in Am Yisrael from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till the days of Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamla? It's a period of almost 2,000 years. Torah was given from the source of life, which is a father. I want to give it to you another example to that. Chazal bring out that when Moshe Rabbeinu met HaKadosh Baruch Hu the first time in the bush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was contemplating to himself and saying, with what tone of voice should I appear to Moshe Rabbeinu? Should I appear in my loud voice? Moshe will get scared. If I appear in a soft voice, he's a rookie. That's the words of Chazal. Tiron. Tiron in Hebrew means a rookie. He's a rookie in prophecies, and he won't know it's me. What tone of voice should I appear to him? It's a Shmois Rabba Gimel Aleph. Say Chazal, that Moshe Rabbeinu heard a Kodesh Baruch Hu appear to him in the voice of his father, Amram. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu said in the voice... Thank you, I'm sorry. Shkech. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the voice of Amram, Moshe, Moshe. And Moshe replied, Abba, where are you? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then replied, I'm not Abba, I'm Elokei Avicha. I appeared in your father's voice not to mislead you. Not to frighten you. How old was Moshe Rabbeinu when he was at the bush? How old was he? 80. Yeah, 80. He was 80 years old. How old was he when he ran away, when he fled, when he escaped from Egypt? You know, with power when he ran away. How old was he? Chazal say he was 20 or 12. He didn't hear this voice for over 60 years. If you want to come up with a familiar voice, why the voice of someone you didn't hear for over 60 years? Why not the voice of Yisro that he ate with him breakfast that morning? Furthermore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old, it's almost impossible that Amram was alive. even though there was no communication between the two of them. Because Amram was 137 when Moshe was born. At 80, he'll be 217. They didn't live into the age of 217. Moshe Rabbeinu himself lived to the age of 120. Aaron 123. So you don't want to scare him, so you come up with a voice of someone who died? What's this Chazal saying? What would you say? He didn't want to scare Moshe Rabbeinu, so he came up with the voice of a father who he didn't hear already for over 60 years. There's room b'chlal to ask. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in Paro's palace. How did he know about Amram? But apparently he did know. Chazal said there was a connection because immediately he identified the voice. And immediately he said, Abba, where are you? What is this Midrash saying? According to the simple understanding, it comes out that the Midrash is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fooled Moshe Rabbeinu for 10 seconds. For 10 seconds he pulled his leg. And after 10 seconds he said, no, I'll tell you the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't pull someone's leg even for 10 seconds. His seal is Emes. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you know me through this voice. What the Midrash is saying is that parents are a bridge between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the nature of our relationship with our parents is usually the nature of the relationship that we'll have afterwards with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once heard from a great man that told me that unfortunately those who have a stormy relationship with their parents are more susceptible to have problems with emunah. Because it's through the parents we reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you ask a 5-year-old kid, what do you say about your father? A regular 5-year-old boy, what would he say? My Abba is a policeman, a fireman, and the strongest man in the world. Do you know in the world of a child that's called God? You can't be more than that. Than a fireman? A policeman? It's not shocking to be more. This Midrash is saying that the key to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through the voices of our parents. And this, even if the parent already died, we're still using their bridge to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all use the Brooklyn Bridge, even though the engineer who probably laid it is not alive anymore. When a child is treated properly by his parents, he says in a subconscious way, Hashem likes me. That's what he says. And if it's the opposite, he'll say the opposite. So what Rav Hutton is writing on the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamla, what the Midrash says in Shmos Rabbah, says clearly that the real relationship that we have with Hashem and its Jewish people, that's the whole point of life. The whole goal of life is inspired for what? Inspired to be a good Jew. And what is the definition of a good Jew? Someone that has a living relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is unique about the Jewish people? Are we the cleverest people in the world? I don't know. Are we the nicest people in the world? What would you say about the New Yorkers? Are they the nicest people in the world? You know, out of town is what they say about New Yorkers. I don't know. What are we then the most in the world? What do we have more than any other nation in the world? A relationship with God. We're the only people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with them, spoke in front of 2 million people, and sent prophets and prophets and prophets, and the Torah, we're the only ones in the world. Our keshe with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it's all about. Inspiring children in chinuch is that they'll appreciate the fact that they're Jews, and they're selected and chosen to have a special relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That comes only through parents. Only. And the learning of Torah comes only through parents. What happened though once Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamla came about? Did the rules change? Now we have school systems. Now we have rebbes. So the basics of what we understood till now and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of Amram, and that you get Torah from the one that gave you life, which is your father and your mother, of course, came Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamla. And he made a revolution. From now on, it's not your father that will teach you Torah. It will be teachers that will teach you Torah. So does that mean now that the buck was passed on to another authority? No, Rabbi Isai, that's not what it means. It means that the teacher is appointed by the father, and the father gave over to the Rebbe, or to the teacher, whatever he had, he gave over to the teacher. It's not only that the teacher is a shaliach of the parents, it's even more than that. It's a power of attorney, that the teacher is someone who works on behalf of the parents, and that's the only way a teacher could be successful. And therefore, I'll give you a few examples to bring out this point. If a teacher looks at his job as a profession, teaching Torah as a profession, he's literally missing the boat. Fatherhood is not a profession. Of course, there's courses to be a better father, better parents. Yeah, of course. It's not a profession. It's life. Let me give you a story to bring out this point. My family made Aliyah from St. Louis, Missouri to Israel when I was 9 years old. This is a long time ago. And when I was in sixth grade, I was 11 years old, 2 years later, I was a wild kid. And the teacher, I broke a window one day in the class, okay, unfortunately, and the teacher gave me a patch. I came home and told that to my father. My father was a rabbi in St. Louis, Missouri, Rabbi Yecheskel Hartman Zatzal, and a Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner. And I told him the story. Point number one, my father never criticized my teachers in my presence. Never. Not only when I was 12 years old, when I was 18 years old, when I was 19 years old. Once you criticize the teacher in the presence of their child, it's finished. So then the teacher is not your representative anymore. You're criticizing him. You have to look at the teacher. It's like you're the right hand, he's the left hand. Does the right hand criticize the left hand? Now, if there's anything that has to be done, for sure, pick up a phone and speak to the teacher. But not in the presence of the children. They kind of know that the father has some critic about the teacher. That's undermining the whole relationship of father-teacher. Torah was supposed to be given from the father. The power of attorney was given over to the teacher. He is now the father. But if the father is the first one to say, I don't like what he's doing, he's not doing a good job. Nah, it's finished. But I want to tell you something more that happened there. My father didn't say a word of criticism to me about the teacher. He was very upset that the teacher gave me a slap. But he didn't tell me a word about it. He asked me, you know, Yeshua, if you broke the window, we have to pay for it. I'd like to come tomorrow to pay for the window. That's how I wanted to get in. When do you have a break? Recess. So I told him, 10:30. Okay, I want to come tomorrow to pay. I'm going to come to the school tomorrow to pay for the window. And lo and behold, at about 10:25, I saw through the window that I just now broke. So I had a good vision. My father's coming. I remember he was wearing a green shirt. I remember it vividly. Now we, the kids, knew that when the parents come to meet the teachers in the teacher's room, if you go in quickly, there's a closet there, a small one, but we were 11 years old, you could fit in and you could hear the conversation. Okay, so a little mini Watergate. We're going to hear the conversation. And then my father came. They spoke in Yiddish. But I understood. So my father asks him, what happened yesterday? So your son, I broke a window, and I thought I'll get hurt. Okay, first of all, I want to pay for the window. How much is it, please? 50 lira. That was in those days. Okay, here's 50 lira. Tell me what happened. My father knew what happened, but he wanted to hear from him. And they're not aware that I'm listening in this closet. You know, your son was wild. He broke a window. And it was very scary. Yeah, 100%. What happened then? Did anything else happen? Yeah, I gave him a patch. A patch in Yiddish means a slap. Why'd you give him a slap? So he says in Yiddish, Ich bin euch der Tate. I'm like a father. I'm a father to your son as well. You don't tell someone to give him a patch? And on that, the answer for sure would have been, yeah. So I also gave a patch. Then my father said something, which I'm going to remember for life. My father, they weren't screaming. He wasn't yelling. He would never do that anyway. He asked my father the following. I'm sorry, my father asked him the following. You gave the patch because you're a father, and a father is allowed to smack his children. Yes. Did you ever give him a kiss? Silence. Tell me, did you ever give him a kiss? No. Oh, you're only a father when it comes to patches? Uh-huh. By me, the ratio is every 100 kisses, I give him a patch. That's the ratio. But to be a father only for patches, that's not called a father. Today, there's legal issues if teachers could give kisses. I'm not speaking about today. Today we live in a Meshuggah Welt. Today, it's something. When in high school, you would say a good swear to my Rosh Hashanah, he would give you a kiss on your forehead. And you carried it as a medal for your whole life. Today, there's issues. So there's other ways how to show it. So it doesn't have to be necessarily a kiss. But the principle's understood. A father gives over what he's supposed to be doing to the teacher. And the teacher should understand that he's acting now as a father. Does anybody know, can anybody tell me, and this is not so known, so don't feel bad if you don't know it, where does it say that the Rebbe is supposed to love his children, his students? I want a source. Is there any source, Rambam Shulchan Aruch, that a Rebbe is supposed to love his Talmidim? Okay, not everybody at once. How about I say lat lat? I'll read it to you. It's a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Beis. It's not a known Rambam, but it's there. I showed it to Rabbi Targan the other day. Yeah, it's there. The Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Beis. Harav Karui Av. A Rebbe is called the father. V'chiyuv Gomel. Tzarich, yeah, Losh Rambam. Tzarich Odom Lehizayr B'talmidav. Person has to treat his children, his students in a sensitive way. Ule Ohavam. And to love them. Shehem Habonim. They are the children. No, they're the children of the parents. No, they're your children also. What, I have such a large family? You get over from the father, his children, and now you step in the shoes of the father. So yes, today the Rebbe is also supposed to inspire. That's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamliel said. But it's not a profession and it's not a job. He's taking over what the father is supposed to be doing. Maybe he's too busy and he has to do it as a father. But what I want to bring out here, Rabbi Say, is that there's two points here. There's something that we should understand. If that's the nature of the relationship between parents and Rabbein, I'm speaking about teachers who teach Torah. It could be morot, morim. It's a nature of relationship that parents should think about and the Rebbe has to think about. The parent, again, has to think about, as I mentioned before, never, ever criticize the teacher in the presence of their children. You undermine everything by doing that. You just killed it by doing that. I know in the school that I teach, I'm now in England, and I know that there's a father there who, on the Shabbos table, speaks in a negative, derogatory way about the Rebbein. And I once approached him, I'm friendly with him, and I asked him, what would you feel? He didn't know where I'm coming at. If I would tell your son that his father is wrong, and his father is not treating his son properly, how would you feel if I would tell that to your son? So he said, that would be a terrible chutzpah. You would be undermining my whole stand as a father. I said, you're absolutely right. And now what happens when you tell your son the same thing about his teachers? Exactly same thing. But in light of what we're learning today, it's deeper. The teacher's your shaliach. The teacher is coming instead of you. He's your substitute. He cannot be a substitute if you're the first one to say he's not doing the job. he won't have a chance to give over that kilvas elokim if you're not on the same page. If there's anything to say, go ahead and say it, but not to your children. Go straight with derech eretz, speak to the Rebbe. People make mistakes. I'm sure we'll be happy to listen. But there's two points here. The father, and with this I want to conclude. Can I tell also the father's one more point, which has to do with it? It's the job of a father to give over that relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of Amram. And there's another point that today people are getting confused on. A father is not the friend of his children. He is a mentor. He is a guide. He is a mechanech. When fathers try to be friends, again, they're missing the point. Of course it's important to have a nice relationship. Of course it's important that the Abba should be unconditional. Of course. But your son has other friends, your son and daughters. You're not one of them. You're supposed to be a leading spiritual authority. And you know how? What's the best way to test this? I'll give you a test to do, Rabbi Yisai. Go home and do it, and I think you'll discover very interesting things. Ask your children to write the top three spiritual values that they picked up at home. What are the most important three values? Don't say the word spiritual, because then it will guide them. What are the most three important values for daddy and mommy? Ask your children to write it. And this will be an eye-opener, I'm sure, in many cases. It will illustrate, first of all, do the parents have clarity in their values? B, are the parents transmitting this importance to their children? C, are the children hopping it? Are the children receiving it? Try to do it. What do you think are the top three values in daddy and mommy's home? See what will happen. So let's just conclude. Yes, the Rebbeim today have to inspire. It does not mean that the parents are dismissed. It means that the Rebbe is a continuation and an extension of the father. And there has to be total cooperation and admiration and respect between the father and the Rebbe that this job could be done. Kol ha-melamed es bno ben chavero Torah kilu yelodo, teaching Torah is like giving birth. There's so many comparisons made between a Rebbe and a father, but that's only if it's done in a way that he's a substitute and he gets the full backing of the father. Then in Yetz Hashem, hopefully our children will be inspired to reach high levels with their relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much.